This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. In the 1940s, a woman's chance of getting breast cancer was 1 in 20. Now it's 1 in 8, despite the billions of dollars spent on awareness and the search for a cure. But what about preventing the disease? From makeup products to the clothes we wear and the furniture we buy, carcinogens seem to be everywhere. And even if a product has that pink ribbon on it, it's very possible that the contents are cancer-causing. That's according to Karuna Jagger of advocacy group Breast Cancer Action. Lauren Schiller of KELW's Inflection Point spoke with Jagger about that little pink ribbon.
What does it mean to be the watchdog of the breast cancer movement?
As the watchdog for the breast cancer movement, our job is to put patients first. We evaluate new drugs and devices from a patient perspective. We call for accountability and transparency in breast cancer fundraising. And we work to push the agenda to include prevention of breast cancer. And as the watchdog, we always are very careful about where our money comes from so that there is no conflict of interest and that our positions really reflect those of women affected by breast cancer. Believe it or not, most breast cancer organizations in this country get a lot of money from companies that contribute to and profit from breast cancer. And so we were really pioneering in the mid-1990s in creating a conflict of interest policy that's been replicated, you know, worldwide. We get a lot of interest in that policy that we pioneered.
So the big organizations, Susan G. Komen, American Cancer Society, mm-hmm. all of these, do they not have women's best interests at heart, given where their money is coming from?
You just named the world's largest breast cancer charity and the largest cancer
yes.
charity in the country. And, you know, when you look at their positions on chemicals and chemical links to cancer, I think that doesn't really follow the evidence and has often been deniers. These two organizations have really denied links between environmental exposures and increased risk of cancer. And it does raise the question, are there corporate partners influencing how they view the data? Komen, for example, was silent on DES, and that's a well-established connection to breast cancer risk. And they get money from Eli Lilly, the manufacturer of DES.
DES is used in what?
Oh, it was a drug that was given to women in the 40s, 50s, and it was meant to prevent miscarriage. It was linked to a range of cancers, vaginal reproductive cancers, and now we're seeing that years out that both the daughters and the mothers are at increased risk for breast cancer. This is not controversial. You go to any breast cancer conference and it's cited as a clear known risk for breast cancer. And yet for many years on their website, last time I looked, Komen denied the links between DES and breast cancer. And it does raise the question, you know, are these nonprofits in the pocket of the companies that are funding them?
So why is your motto, think before you pink?
So I'm going to take you back a little bit. The pink ribbon was created almost 25 years ago, and it was actually a corporate co-optation of a grassroots tool. There was this woman living in Southern California named Charlotte Haley, who was really concerned about the number of women in her community, and in particular in her family, being diagnosed with breast cancer. So she created this peach ribbon, calling on the National Cancer Institute to put more money into prevention, to research around the causes of disease and prevention. She got a lot of attention. It was, you know, early 1990s and ribbons were hot and the national media came calling. And as breast cancer came out of the closet nationwide, you know, as more women and women's health activists began talking about breast cancer to bring it out of the closet, and then this salmon ribbon caught on, companies started paying attention and they saw a marketing opportunity. So Self Magazine and Estee Lauder reached out to Charlotte to say, hey, let's partner. And by, you know, the words of the corporation, she said, nope, you're too corporate for us and I don't want any part of that. So their lawyer said all they needed to do was change the color. They did focus groups and they found that pink was soft and soothing and feminine and cheerful and everything that breast cancer is not. And so the peach ribbon was turned pink, and with it, the focus on prevention was turned to this awareness, this sort of empty awareness. And so what we've been saying when companies put this pink ribbon on their products is, what do we have to show for it? What do we have to show for the billions of dollars spent on pink ribbon products? We've been calling for accountability and transparency in all this marketing. Where's the money going? And in particular, we've been calling out pink washers.
And explain pink washing.
Yeah. So pink washing is when companies claim to care about breast cancer and yet their products or services actually put women at increased risk of the disease. It is just the most hypocritical form of cause marketing. And companies are not only making money off of pink ribbon products, but they're getting a lot of goodwill from the public, you know, kind of market, increasing their market share because the public thinks that these are good companies doing a good thing. And yet those companies that say they care about breast cancer aren't doing what it takes to make sure that their products or services are safe. So the cosmetics industry has been a leader in pink washing since those first pink ribbons were slapped onto those first cosmetics products.
Well, when I think of the pink ribbon, I think of it as something that raises awareness mm-hmm. of breast cancer. Mm-hmm. And the woman has a 1 in 8 chance in her lifetime now of getting breast cancer. So with all the awareness around breast cancer, and maybe the answer is self-evident given what you just talked about with pink washing, but why do you think the breast cancer rate is not going down?
Yeah, because you're absolutely right. We can't find anybody who is not aware of breast cancer. You would have to be living under a rock to not be aware of breast cancer and to not know what the pink ribbon stands for. Along with this campaign has come a whole lot of misinformation. And what we see is that it's corporations that are putting out a lot of the messages around breast cancer, not public health experts, right? Not doctors. So that's one problem with pink ribbon, is that it's sort of an opportunity for people who don't really know anything about breast cancer research to put a message out there that's not evidence-based. Another issue is that pink ribbons have really come to replace women, and there's this whole narrative around pink ribbons. It's a narrative of be positive, fight hard, you can do it. And women who are dying from disease, and about 30% of women diagnosed with breast cancer at any stage, will go on to develop metastatic disease. And the sort of unintended consequence of many of those messages is we're telling this woman they didn't stay positive enough, they didn't fight hard enough. And so there's a lot of unintended harm that comes along with sort of what's often called the tyranny of cheerfulness associated with pink ribbons. And why is there a tyranny of cheerfulness? Because companies are using the pink ribbons to sell products. And frankly, death doesn't sell.
So on the legislation front, so we're talking about self-regulation. About 10 years ago, California was the first state to pass legislation requiring manufacturers to disclose toxic product ingredients. And as of this May, there were over 900 ingredients on the list. Mm-hmm. So it seems like what they're saying is disclose them. Mm-hmm. But what sounds like what you're saying is that's not enough.
Right. There's, you know, a tension here in sort of right-to-know laws. So a lot of organizations do advocate for consumer right-to-know. And I think that we can argue that that's a step towards the ultimate end. But I want to say that it is not on consumers to be our own EPA and FDA. If we know that there are chemicals, hormone disruptors, carcinogens, heavy metals, fragrance in products that are negatively impacting human health, those shouldn't be on the shelves in the first place. It shouldn't be up to us to read the ingredient lists, and you know, many of which aren't even listed on the labels, to go through, read, try to pretend that we're experts in toxicology, that we can pronounce these multisyllabic, you know, chemical names, and that we know what they mean. There's experts who do this. This is their job, and this is what our government should be doing to protect us. And as a social justice activist, I think we deserve better from our companies, and I think we can work together to hold them accountable and demand that they really put their money where their mouth is and do something meaningful for women's health and for cancer patients.